Experience Karen Hunter in a completely different way.
Karen Hunter is awesome.
The podcast.
If you like me on SiriusXM Urban View Channel 126, you're going to love me.
And Karen Hunter is awesome.
Hey, this is Karen Hunter, host of The Karen Hunter Show on SiriusXM's Urban View. Karen Hunter is Awesome is an actual podcast to bring heat and energy and knowledge and power. A one-two punch that I don't think you get anyplace else.
Tell the truth.
So check out the podcast wherever you get your podcast. You will not be disappointed. When you did the blue eyes, brown eyes exercise in the early, in the 1960s, to demonstrate to your class of all so-called white children what racism looks like in real time by separating the class from those with brown eyes and blue eyes and mistreating the ones with blue eyes. And just in that short period of time, the children got it. But somehow the parents didn't. Your job was threatened and your life was threatened. We live in a society today where people want to take, I mean, that violence, that level of violence, what are they afraid of? Jane Elliott.
They're afraid that they're going to lose their so-called superiority. They're afraid that they're going to have to face the truth that they aren't white and they aren't superior and they are not the color of their skin because God made them white. They're going to have to face the fact that all of us came originally from a country on the continent of Africa. And our ancestors, if you trace your DNA back far enough, you'll find out that your ancestors looked like you. They didn't look like me because their bodies produced a lot of melanin to protect their cells from the damaging rays of the sun. And here's what's going to solve this. As this climate change gets more and more extreme, and more sunlight is allowed to enter our environment, more and more people who are this color are going to encourage their children to marry people of your color so that their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren will survive in the future. I disagree with you,
but this is how crazy it is. Miss Jane Elliott, I think they would shoot the sun out of the sky. Before they would, I feel like they are this wedded to this ideal that they rather black out the sun and shoot it out of the sky than have to be forced to reconcile with their very genealogy.
See, I don't think they're that stupid.
Yes, ma'am, you've been living longer than me. You don't think they're that stupid? Look at where we are right now. They reelected this person.
Wait. You have to remember that we elected Barack Obama twice.
Did we?
Yes, we did. And that can happen again because it must happen again. We must convince people that this fool is not any whiter than any of the rest of the world. He's from Africa just like everybody else does. But he got from Africa and went to his ancestors, went too far north. And they forgot everything that they had learned when they lived in Africa. He is a result of a group of people who forgot what they were taught. And now, in the last 20 years, we haven't been teaching it again. We have been teaching the wrong thing because we've got people out there banning books. I have been banned on colleges and universities all over the United States because what I say upsets the apple cart here. And I'm going to continue to say it until some fool gets up the courage to shoot me. And then Then you're going to have to celebrate Jane Elliott Day once a year. How do you think these folks will feel about that? I am guaranteed to stay alive for as long as I have to because they're afraid to kill me because no power on earth can stop a man with a dream or an idea whose time has come. I don't know who said it, but they were right. The idea of one race and one color group, shades of brown, is an idea whose time has come. And you can deny it until hell freezes over and it will still be the truth. You and I are 30th to 50th cousins. That's a fact.
I'm good with it. I've been trying to figure out how to dismantle it, but it seems like the pushback, because what I've assessed is that people haven't done a lot of work on themselves. So we are in a nation of people who are not fully formed, aren't fully developed emotionally and spiritually or mentally. And this is one thing that they can wrap themselves around, particularly in the United States of America, where it's predominantly people who identify as being white. And because of the self-segregation, they also have a very narrow view of everybody else. And this feels good to them. This feels good enough to them to get out in the streets and march and vote and do and harm people and do all of the things to preserve it. And that's something that's hard to fight against, Miss Jane Elliott. I feel like it's their made up mind is hard to change.
But it has to change. We have to inform people that only 15 to 18% of the human beings on the face of the earth are classified as white. And it's a misclassification because we are not white. We have been in the minority always, and we are in a smaller and smaller minority. You need to realize that. The Father Time is going to solve this whole problem, because in a very short time now, people who look like me are going to see the advantage in looking like you, because nature is going to kill them off if they don't. It's that simple.
Well, I thought that was going to happen in COVID, but it didn't. We're here with Jane Elliott. Jane Elliott is here. Oh, my God. There was a week when people were like, black people are immune. And I was like, finally, this makes sense. And then it flipped the opposite. I don't know what happened. But, you know, we disproportionately are impacted by everything in this country.
Wait. Wait a minute. You were here first and you will be here last. You have to realize that. There are three simple things you have to know. Without blacks, there would be no whites. Those two words are absolutely ridiculous. Without people who look like you, there would be no people who look like me. Without women, there would be no men. And without Jews, there would be no Christians. And those are the three isms that we fight all day, every day. Racism, sexism, and anti-Semitism. It's ridiculous. Those three facts are facts. You can argue with them until you can skate across the surface of hell, but it won't work because those three things are true. Once we get those into our heads, then we're going to learn to appreciate one another as we are.
Well, I'm not holding my breath. I'm going to forge forward to build the world that I want to live in and wait for people to either die off or figure it out. But to your point, you know, we sit here today, you know, Jane Elliott, I was saying that you were able to get on this technology so much easier than some folk that I know happened like a third of your age. And what I'm smiling about, though, your books are being banned. The books that you like to read are being banned. With the flip of a button now, they're going to erase whole histories. And because we are scrolling on things and not forced to all have to know the same things, and facts aren't facts anymore, and people doing research on YouTube, not actually reading or cracking open a whole book and reading it, and then being in community with scholars, I fear that the next 20, 30 years, if we're not careful, will erase everything that you just said out of your mouth as fact, and it will be replaced by these people's quote unquote facts.
Aha, but the way to solve that is refuse to allow them to ban books. When I was teaching, that was in the days of the communist scare, and a man came, and I was doing my student teaching, and a man came to the third grade in which I was doing my student teaching and said, we want to go through all the books in your third grade library and take out the ones that are communism, teach communism. Mrs. Grant, Hazel Grant, said, go right ahead. So they put a whole bunch of books up on the top shelf of the library and said, now, don't let the children sign up those books, and we'll come and get them. She said, thank you very much, and she ushered them to the door. She closed the door behind them, and she said, now, put those books back on the shelf and let's go to work. And that's exactly what we did. And that's what teachers have to do today. When the book banners come in, the teachers in that classroom, the educators have to say, show me your license to practice education. Show me your education that proves that you are capable of deciding who should or should not read which books. Show me that. Until you have a certificate that proves that you are capable of being an educator, do not come in here and tell me what to do with these books. And do not take one book off the shelf in this school building, because these are all owned by the taxpayers. And I will call the police and accuse you of having stolen public property. It's time for educators to get spines and say, fire me if you want to, but you're going to have a reason for firing me. And I'm going to give you a reason. I'm going to educate instead of indoctrinate. I'm going to teach my students how they should behave when some fool comes in and tells them they're banning some books by somebody like Mark Twain, Alice Walker, Dostoevsky. I will not allow that. My children, my students have the right to learn what's in those books. And if you are afraid of what's in those books, your fear is your problem. Do not visit it upon my students.
That fortitude that we talked about in our first interview, where, you know, even your dad was like, don't know if you should be doing this, Jane. I don't know. But you were like, I'm gonna do it anyway. You had parents coming to the school threatening your job. You had death threats. You had people threatening to kill you
I
know.
still,
And you
can you
still
imagine?
do?
Oh, absolutely. I get letters all the time, emails all the time that tell me what's going to happen to me. And they use the B word. And for me, the B word is an acronym for being in total control, honey. So when somebody
Write that
calls me
down.
the B word, when somebody calls me the B word, that's what I do. I laugh and I say, you're out of control, aren't you, darling? But I am in control, and you can't take my control away from me by using that word. Because for me, that word means being in total control, honey. And I'm glad you realize that I'm in control. Then they stop using it. They have no other word.
Why do you think they're so angry, and why aren't there more Jane Elliots? Why are you such an anomaly? Why aren't there more people, when they find the truth, say, hey, you know, this is the truth. Let's get out there and tell the truth. Why aren't there more of you?
Most women, number one, can't afford to, and are afraid to. We
Flex.
can't afford. Most of us are our own support. We can't afford to lose our job. I had a husband who was working, so if I had lost my job, I would not have gone hungry. Would have been not so happy, but I wouldn't have gone hungry. I could afford to stand up and say, no more. I'm not going to tolerate this, and I'm going to teach in such a way that my students don't tolerate this. And this past August, 10 of those students who were in the film, The Eye of the Storm, came back to Riceville, and we met in the school where we had done the exercise, and we sat down and discussed what we had learned in the ensuing 55 years. It was absolutely magic to see those 60 and 62-year-old people say, at this point, one of them said, you taught us the truth. You taught us to tell the truth. And I thought, if that's what I am remembered for, thank God for my father, because he said, if you're going to lie, don't lie to me. So we were very careful not to lie to him. And he appreciated people. He told the truth. And when I showed them the first film that was made in my classroom, when it was over, I showed it to my mother and my father in the hotel, which I owned. And he stood up after it was over and took his red handkerchief out of the back pocket of his bib overalls, blew his nose, wiped his eyes, and said, I wish somebody had taught me that when I was 9 years old. Yeah, and now when psychologists say that's a terrible thing to do to children, I say my father said at the age of 60, I wish somebody had taught me that when I was 9 years old. I wish somebody had taught me that when I was 9 years old, because I would have been a different kind of teacher and a different kind of student and a different kind of human being if I had learned at nine what my third graders learned at nine.
But you somehow figured out how to teach a thing you didn't learn. The Eye of the Storm, PBS, you can go check it out, PBS series, Frontline, Jane Elliott, Riceville, Iowa, 99.9% white. But somehow you were able to bring forth this notion of what it looks like to be unfairly discriminatory towards people just because of how they came out of their mother's womb. And it was stunning. To this day, it's still stunning to see the reaction of the children and the transformation. So you learned something. You learned something, even if your dad didn't know, even if you didn't know. You learned something that I'm curious why more people aren't like you.
Because they don't have to be, and because they are rewarded for not being like me. If you want to be like me, that means you want to suffer. You want people to hate you. You want people to mistrust you. You want people to wonder how long you've been crazy. And that's what I've gone through for the last 55 years. And I say to myself, every time I get one of these hateful letters, I think, I wish I could put that person through the blue-eyed, brown-eyed exercise. Because if you go through it, you don't learn about it, you learn how it feels to be there. And that's what I want. We learn by doing. I want people to go through that experience so that they find out how it feels to be on the receiving end of that which we dish out to people of color in this country on a daily basis. I want them to feel it in their hearts and in their heads instead of just thinking about it. I want them to realize how it feels. Once they find out how it feels, they will not want that to happen to their children or their grandchildren or their great-grandchildren. They will want to change the situation so that nobody has to feel less than because of somebody else's ignorance about skin color. Skin color is not the problem. Self-imposed ignorance about skin color is the problem. And that is curable. You can cure your own racism. Get a book. Get the book. Oh, my God. Get the book On Tyranny by Timothy Snyder. Get his book On Tyranny, and then get his book on freedom. It's on the ceiling, on the shelf behind me. Get those two, but get On Tyranny first. It's only it will only take you an hour to read it. There are 20 lessons that we have learned in this century that we could practice to make the next century better. Get the book On Tyranny and read it, and insist. And I buy six at a time. When I go to the bookstore, I buy six copies of On Tyranny, and I hand them out to people who come to my house. And I say, read this book. And they look at me like, oh, here we go again. And I'm thinking, no, here, you came to see me. You came to listen to me. No, I'm going to give you something that you take with you in your hand, and you have to make a choice as to whether or not to read it. Now, if you decide not to read it, that says you don't give a damn. If you decide to read it, you're going to say, I'm going to buy this and give it to my kids and my nieces and nephews and my aunts and uncles. Everybody needs to read Timothy Snyder's On Tyranny and his On Freedom. People, it's a matter of self-educating. You don't have to be in high school or college. You don't have to be taught by somebody else. It is up to you to take on your own learning. Yes. And On Tyranny and On Freedom will make you a different kind of person.
I love it. Last time you were here, you recommended Nazis versus gangsters versus Nazis. And I listened to it on Audible. And oh, my God, you know, we had on recently Dr. Kelly, whose book is We Refuse, a book about resistance. But the gangsters versus Nazis was inspiring. Inspiring. Kelly Carter Jackson was here this week. It was inspiring. Her book is inspiring, but that book was also inspiring because it shows what it looks like when people, you know, don't allow folk to come in and do whatever they want.
Right now we're seeing it, but you have to read this one.
Erasing History
by Jason Stanley. You have to read it, and you have to read it this week. Don't put it off until next week. Read it this week, because what he says is, until you've walked in somebody else's shoes, you don't realize what it is, what they're going through. And that I read that and I thought, oh my God, the man has seen the film, The Eye of the Storm, or he has seen the follow-up film in which we put adults through the blue-eyed, brown-eyed exercise. Everybody needs to take a look at Class Divided, because that's one that they used the first film of the Class Divided, The Eye of the Storm, and then we put a group of adults through the exercise and filmed that. And it is just, it's just wrenching when you realize that none of those blue-eyed people ever considered themselves less than until they were in that exercise.
Yes, yes.
And in this country, dark brown people don't get the chance to think of themselves as more than because they go through the exercise on a daily basis. I want the exercise, the skin color exercise, stopped, and I want it stopped today.
I know you do. Jane Elliott is here. Tell us about Darrell Elliott. Oh, he had to be a special kind of man to marry you in all of this and stay married. Lord, tell us.
He had no choice but to marry me, because the minute I saw him on a blind date, I saw those big brown eyes, and I had decided early on that I was going to marry somebody with big brown eyes. And there he stood, and he looked 5 years older than he was, and he was just fantastic. And I thought, you'll never date another woman as long as I live. And he never did. I got him, and I held on to him, and I cherished him, and I made his life better. And sometimes I made his life a lot harder, because it was hard for him to go to work and have people say, oh yeah, you're the one that's married to the N-word lover. And he'd have to say, better a lover than a hater. And then he'd go on with what he was doing. And that's what I figure. Yes, I'm an N-word lover. You've got a problem. That's not my problem. Better a lover than a hater. I love that man. Let's talk about something else, or I'll turn into a soup sandwich here.
No, but that's important, though. You know, we are a sum total of our relationships. And I think this is what I've settled on here, that we get to choose the family that we want to have. And I believe you get to create the world that you want to live in by those choices. And so we have to see one another in a certain kind of light. We have to see one another not as enemies. To your point, I'm absolutely in alignment. And the fact that you can still well up thinking about a man who made transition in 2013, like he hasn't been here for a while, but you were married to him for so many years, that bond allowed you to have the freedom to go out and do the things.
That's
it's
right.
important to
That's
have
right.
relationships. So I'm glad.
Right.
Feel the feels, ma'am. Feel the feels because it's inspiring. It's the kind of love we all should have. It's the kind of love we all should have. Jane Elliott is here. Are you optimistic that this
so
is going
to... Absolutely, because this fool, this T-Rump, is going to prove to all of us how dangerous it is to vote casually or to not vote at all. He is going to prove to us the value of democracy. He is going to make us aware that we do not want to live in a theocracy or an oligarchy. He has proven that to us in the last 3 weeks. He is going to cause such resistance to what he is doing that people are going to come out and vote that never would have voted before, and you are not going to be able to arrange the voting so that certain people can't vote. They're going to see what's happening, and they're going to put a stop to it. People are going to get very, very wise and very, very knowledgeable because they're going to watch what's happening. When I was a kid, no, voting was, well, yeah, or maybe so, maybe not. It wasn't important. Now, today, voting is the most important right you have. You, by the gods of war, had better vote and had better... You had better study so that you know what people are really planning on doing, and then vote for the people who are going to do the right thing. My dad would say, you know, the difference between right and wrong. Do the right thing, Biden. Huh? Do the right thing. Vote and vote for the right person so that we will retain this democracy. You have no idea. I've been to Saudi Arabia. My daughter married a Saudi Arabian. I've been there. That's not the way I want to live. I've been to lots of places on the face of the earth, and I know that a democracy is how I want to live, and I want to live in this democracy. It's 250 years old. It's older than I am. It is the most valuable thing on the face of the earth. This America, United States of America democracy is the most valuable government on the face of the earth, and we must preserve it, and we must appreciate it, and we must see to it that nobody is allowed to destroy it.
Well, I actually have a different view, and it comes from generational trauma at the hands of this democracy. I believe this country was forged and formed on a faulty foundation, that it was steeped in the blood of Africans and indigenous people, that it was built on a lie and on thievery. And I think maybe it needs to break. Maybe this is the break that it needs. I believe, however, out of this, we can build the more perfect union that is written in that imperfect document called the Constitution. Maybe this is our opportunity to create the kind of real democracy where all people are seen as human and all people have the right and are written in, not as three-fifths, not as an amendment, but as foundational to this country. That's what I believe.
But we must teach the preamble to the Constitution at the third grade level and from there on. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. A more perfect union is what we want. This democracy isn't perfect, but it is better than anything else. Make no mistake about it. It's better than anything else. We have to establish justice. You can't do that with a person at the helm who has had 32 felony convictions. Promote the general welfare. You can't do that if you're going to take away Social Security and all the things that make it possible for people my age to still be alive. If you just teach the preamble of the Constitution and then have your students recognize where those principles stated therein are being violated, we can change this whole situation. If every adult listening to this moment that we're on right now would get the preamble of the Constitution, read it, write it out, and then watch and see what happens during the day. Watch the news and see what happens during the day. And don't watch Fox News because it isn't the truth. Find a station that tells the truth, and then watch and see how many of the principles that are in the preamble of the Constitution are being violated by the people who are leading this country today. And a real democracy will give you the opportunity to put them out of office. And that's what we have to do.
Introducing a new podcast, Karen Hunter is Awesome.
If you like me on SiriusXM Urban View Channel 126, you're going to love me.
And Karen Hunter is Awesome.
Hey, this is Karen Hunter, host of the Karen Hunter Show on SiriusXM's Urban View. Karen Hunter is Awesome is an actual podcast to bring heat and energy and knowledge and power. A one-two punch that I don't think you get anyplace else.
Tell the truth.
So check out the podcast wherever you get your podcast. You will not be disappointed.
Karen Hunter is Awesome, a new podcast from Karen Hunter.